This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Yes, hour number two. Live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District, New York City. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Want to let everybody know, bottom of the hour, we got Joe Douglas, Jets general manager, coming off arguably their best draft ever. Arguably one of the best drafts ever.
Ever?
In NFL draft history, so it'd be great to pick his brain on what he did, what he saw, and what the Jets now can do going forward. But we got your calls, too, at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But let's continue with our frenemy conversations. Shall we, Bart?
This is because a frenemy. I really like this guy.
You do?
I didn't know he had a hard head.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
Yeah, maybe Keyshawn palmed it one day at work or something like that.
We're talking about Jay Williams, of course.
Hammerhead Williams.
That's your wrestling name?
That's such an awkward name. I don't know if I can accept that.
Well, y'all called yourself the Blue Trojan. Did you realize that Blue Trojan is code word for
just
snug fit?
Protected at all times, Mark.
But you know, Blue Trojan is code word for snug fit.
Yeah, but
right?
Blue is the small size. Are you sure you guys want that as your nickname, your team name?
Yeah, those snug fits.
Hey, it's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean.
That's well done. I will accept that answer, Jay. But I'll tell you what, will you accept this answer? What you saw, not just in game one of James Harden against the Heat, but what we've seen from James Harden, I mean, maybe after three games with the Sixers and four games after with the Sixers and since then to now, if you are in that front office and he's got the opt-out, $47 million opt-out, are you paying him?
I mean, if you're Daryl Morey, look, you obviously didn't – you wanted to get Ben Simmons out. You wanted to get your guy. But if you've given up the whole house in order to get a guy that you think is going to be a complimentary player next to Joel Embiid who can't get it done, I don't see how you can, Alan. Like, I don't see how – if this is the type of performance that we get from James, and granted, I think a lot of that has to do with the Miami Heat defense, right? Him seeing a multitude of bodies. We are talking about one that – the best defensive team probably in the NBA right now, along with the Boston Celtics. He's not the same James Harden that he was before. This is a new version of him. And if I'm seeing a lack of commitment, I don't know how you can give him that back. I don't know how you can, Alan.
At least give me a prove it year, right? Say, no, don't opt out and give me a prove it year. But if you're opting out, then good luck on the open market, because is anyone giving him that kind of money?
I think somebody will. I think there are markets out there that will. I do, because I think if you're a GM or if you're your NBA team and you're in a market that is struggling, you know, for fanfare or for attention, you get a chance to bring a guy like James Harden to your team to attract fans. I think guys will look at it. I think people realistically look at it.
Well, we talk about, I don't think if somebody picks him up, it's not going to be the contract that the Brody, you know, got where people just trying to get rid of and is bouncing from place to place. I don't think he's at that place yet. But at this point, he's clearly like a facilitator. He's slowing down a little bit. Maybe somebody's three. But Daryl Morey's kind of painted himself into a box because he has to explain he's in a honeymoon phase, but he's about to be out of it after this season if the moves that he made did not like bear fruit. So what's some of the options? Because if they're going to get a star, if you're a team legitimately that think that you can win, you're not just going to take James Harden. You need something else in a trade, right? So maybe it might even cost you Maxey to get an equal star, the star that you thought you were getting when you traded for James Harden.
Yeah, like, look, I don't know about going into options yet. I think I still want to see how James adjusts in game two. We are only one game into the playoffs with the Miami Heat. I will say this. The fact that he only took four shots in the second half is pretty damn alarming to me. Right? Because my thing is, at the end of the day, when you know that Joel Embiid is not on the court, you recognize when it gets down to it that you can only facilitate so much, especially when you guys are not making shots. And as any superstar knows, at any level, you have to do things on your own when it gets to that point. And the fact that he didn't try to kick it into the extra gear is even more concerning than his lack of blow-by speed.
Jay Williams joining us right now. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, talking about the NBA playoffs. Tonight we've got game two now of Bucks and the Celtics. What did we learn in game one, or were the Celtics, like I said, the Celtics saw their first game of playoff defense and might have been just, you know, caught off guard or caught on the heels. and I think they'll be a better team in game two. What did you learn?
I would agree. I think Jaylen Brown can't afford to have a game like that. I think if he continues down that path, even though it's a small sample size as it relates to number of games, it's a really big statement because people will naturally turn that into a narrative of whether Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can continue to coexist. And I think they can, guys. I think they could win a championship together. But obviously, if Jaylen keeps playing that way, it doesn't help the case. And also, I think you know, when you come off playing the Brooklyn Nets, even though it get hyped like it was the Eastern Conference Finals, Brooklyn plays no defense. So, Alan, I would agree with you. They got punched in the mouth, but I'm more so curious now to see how they respond. And the biggest question mark is Marcus Smart. Will he play? Because he is JB Bickerstaff, excuse me, said something on our show earlier this morning I thought was perfect. He said Marcus Smart is the personification of their attitude. And he needs to be that on the court, and he needs to be aggressive. He can do that with that, you know, thigh contusion and that arm injury, that arm stinger. I think they'll be in it.
As far as the West goes, it just feels inevitable, Suns-Warriors, doesn't it? Like, I just feel like they're going to meet. Yeah. The Warriors did escape that game against Memphis, but they did it because I feel like they still have their core from the dynasty, and they are younger around that core, which to me makes them the most dangerous team in the West. Do you see the Suns as the favorite, the most dangerous team, or do you see it like what I just said? I just feel like the Warriors and that championship medal is there, that been there, done that. That makes them more dangerous.
Yeah, I do. I think, though, tonight, as I'm heading to Memphis to do our show live from Memphis tomorrow and Thursday, I think tonight's a legacy game for Ja Morant, Alan, and Bart. And here's why, man. You know, everybody keeps calling this team young pups, and I think they gave the game away. I mean, even think about Desmond Bane trailing Klay Thompson, right, when he hits him with the head fake and he takes a side step, knocks on the three. You stay disciplined. You force Klay Thompson to put the ball on the ground and create a shot off the dribble in that situation. Even Ja Morant with the little lazy left-hand runner at the rim, like, you got to go to the cup strong. I don't care if there is 4 or 5 seconds left on the clock. You finish through contact, not trying to dice or avoid contact. So for me, I've been seeing a lot of barking from them. I think they've been one of the best teams all year long, even if it's them doing the gritty on the Minnesota Timberwolves logo, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see them become the more adult dog and get a game at home. Because if they don't get this game, then we'll be talking about, oh, they're that team, they're on the way, they're a couple more years down. And it's a continued slap in the face for a team that's been one of the best teams all year long in all of basketball.
I love that. Legacy game tonight. That's why it's a must watch. We look forward to seeing you guys.
Tell his dad to sit his ass down. He ain't the star.
There's back a lot up, of that going man. On, too.
Oversaturation.
They'll look at him like, man, who are you?
I'm curious what he said to Steph Curry. I wonder if he's talking a little trash at the end of the game now to try to throw Steph off his game.
Right? You saw that? Yeah, he got involved. Like, yeah. Dell was clearly like, I'm not playing this game. Jay, I know you got to run. You got to travel. Enjoy Memphis. Always a good time there.
Get some of that barbecue.
Al, can I just say something real quick? Bart, you know, like in L.A., you have like Black Hollywood and Hollywood?
Yeah.
I feel like when I go and I'm seeing Memphis games, it's like the Black Hollywood going down Memphis, like Gucci Man.
YG.
I'm like, yo, what? Usher. I'm like, what is happening right here? Are
yo, Gotti. That's what's
what
up, man.
About Memphis?
Hustle and flow, baby. That's what I'm talking about, man. Underground rap.
I see it, baby.
Don't all come right, back y'all. With no perm.
Safe travels, brother.
You got to have hair to get a perm, Bart.
You said it, we didn't. All right, all the best. Jay Will.
I know he can grow the back. Listen, I know it don't grow on the top. He can grow it in the back and put a perm in there if he want to. Get one of them JaMale McGee, start growing them JaMale McGee.
Just have a little tail?
Air Hakeem.
How come no one will go horseshoe? Like, you know when you just balled in the middle? And they like, just go. Can you go Sherman Hemsley?
What is it? Lou Gossett Jr.? Yeah, yeah.
No one will do it anymore. Like, I want someone to be bold enough to say, I'm going horseshoe. I don't care.
That take guts.
Does it?
That take guts.
Is it that rough?
Yeah, out there looking like Krusty the Clown, man.
Like, back in the day. Back in the day.
All the players had it back in the day.
The white guys would get, get the mullet. So you'd have so much happening and then nothing.
That
like,
bro,
just straight up.
Bro, that was every 70s movie.
Yeah.
Dolomite Autumn had a couple of dudes. They were still getting it, man. Like Harry Belafonte had that them Kyle Licks early in his career. He held up. He might still be holding on. No, he cut it off now.
Yeah, it became a thing.
But
where
it's
you
Harry
just,
Belafonte.
Just shave it. Yeah.
I don't know. If you look at your family members and your parents,
when you know it's coming.
Yo, you look old as hell. Like, how old are you? 19? Like, damn.
It was something about the 70s where everybody looked old. Young people looked old in the 70s.
Like, damn, this civil rights struggle.
Anybody looked young was
aging.
A teenager. No one was in there. Like, anybody in their 20s looked old. Like, all the folk singers, you're like, wow, he was 25? He looks like he's 50.
Ron Isley at 80 look younger now than he did when he was walking around that afro and them bad British teeth. You know what I mean?
I blame the – I think maybe it was the
quality.
There
was no fluoride in
the
water either, bro. They had some bad grills,
everybody
bro.
Smoked.
They did not yet.
Yeah, everybody smoked.
Had them yellow teeth, man, looking like parquet.
All right, coming up. Are there teams closer to the Bills in the AFC East? We asked this yesterday. We'll get deeper into it. Teams in the AFC East, who got closer to the Bills? And, oh, by the way, did the Patriots get further away? A lot to discuss. We'll do that. Of course, remind you as well, Joe Douglas, Jets GM. They had a great draft. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. It's Barton on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
I love the Jets. I mean, the Jets got three of the best 15 players in this draft.
What I love about these three players for the Jets fans are they're very fundamentally sound, developed, sort of professionalized college athletes.
All right, it's Barton Hahn. We got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of people want to talk James Harden. We will get to your calls. But just quickly here, Bart, because we brought it up yesterday, let's get back to it again. The AFC East has not really been, like, it's not the AFC West. It's not the NFC West. Like, it has not been a great division for many years. It was dominated by the Patriots, and occasionally you'd get a good year by the Dolphins. You got your years with the Jets, a couple of good years there. But it has not been great. Then the Bills come along.
2 years in a row.
And Josh Allen, they have built really well there. And now they have become the class of that division. But the Patriots were a playoff team last year. They were still there last year. They didn't go away. But you said something yesterday that caught my attention. I thought, let's just bring it back real quick. And that is, when you're power ranking now, after free agency, after the draft, the teams in the AFC East, you said the Patriots could be fourth.
Yeah.
Explain.
I believe that. I mean, I think about what they are, what they added, and what they lost. Now, getting Devontae Parker, a guy that was, you know, collateral damage after the Dolphins went out and got Tyreek Hill. Okay, that's a bit of an upgrade, right? You know, Kill Harry, you're looking for a place to trade him because Bill Belichick, once again, thinks he's smarter than everybody in the draft and goes and getting Kill Harry, and he can't play, right? They lose Shaq Mason. This was a team that was exposed for being old and slow. It's one of the very few teams walking around with a fullback. They decided to move from that. They don't have consistency. Who's going to be the offensive coordinator? Bill Belichick is the offensive coordinator.
He is.
When has he ever been the offensive
Joe
coordinator?
Joe Judge is the offensive assistant.
My point. And he ain't never coached nothing but special teams. And maybe the tight end. So, like, now you got two people that's not qualified to run the offense.
I mean, Belichick
is. No, not to run the offense. When has he ever ran the offense? It was always Bill O'Brien.
But if you are a great defensive mind, don't you understand offense?
But it has nothing to do with calling the plays, understanding the time. That's a skill set.
By the way, a second year quarterback in Mac Jones,
right.
His ear.
That's a skill set. Sounds like they're going to be running the ball and doing T quicks or something all day, right? So, also, look what they lost on defense. They were exposed for being old and slow, lost their leader, Kyle Van Noy. Lost their leader, Dante Hightower. Lost their Swiss Army knife in Jamie Collins. They didn't replace that, really. They finally admitted that Chase Winovich wasn't going to be the next Clay Matthews just because he had long hair like the Barbie. You know what I mean? So they end up getting rid of – they end up trading him somewhere. So I don't understand, where do they replace these guys with good players, right? You talk about this offensive line isn't going to be as good as it was before. Why would you trade Shaq Mason for a fifth-round draft pick to Tampa Bay? Right, they let J.C. Jackson walk, the best corner in the league, or one of the best corners in the league. They let him walk. He ended up in with the Chargers in Los Angeles. So where are they better? Mac Jones was exposed just a bit in the playoffs when he had to go against good teams, and he didn't play against teams. Remember last year when he played against some teams where we were going to try and see like this is a test for him. Mm-hmm. They played Cleveland without Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Everybody they played, they went against other people.
Interesting. So, Caesars has it right now. Buffalo at -180 to win the division. Miami at +400. And New England at +400.
Right.
So that would put them equal footing. The Jets, by the way, they got them at +220. They don't expect the Jets to do anything.
They can come out of nowhere.
But like,
they
not +220, obviously, but 2,200.
Yeah.
But they have what they see is the Patriots and the Dolphins are on equal footing. You don't see that. You see Miami has gotten significantly better.
Brian Flores' record against Bill Belichick was tremendous. Now I know McDonald's
He's not there anymore.
I know McDonald's there, but listen, they have loaded up. This has been a 3 year in county about loading up with talent and changing the roster, using Micah Fitzpatrick as bait to get first round draft picks. They finally paid Xavier Howard. They already have the corner that was the number one corner on the market from Dallas a couple years ago, Brian Jones, right? They have a pair of the best safeties. They got everything they needed, and then they went out and got what they really needed, and that was the left tackle to protect Tua Tagovailoa. They went and got the best guy out in the market in free agency in Armstead.
And that, of course, remains the question. Really, the only question to answer is Tua the guy?
But Tua—
just like in Philadelphia, is Jalen Hurts the guy? Like, there's going to be questions that there need to be answered by two teams that in the East, on the NFC side, the AFC side, they have everything— but they don't know if they have the quarterback. But, and for the Dolphins, that's going to be the biggest question.
But to me, you're looking at everybody in the division not named Josh Allen has the same exact question.
Yes.
Are you really sold on Mac Jones? Like, he played okay, but he played with the best coaching staff, right? Now he doesn't have the best coaching staff because they lost people, right? They lost their coordinator since he's been there for 20 years. He left for a cup of tea in Denver, but he's been there. It's always been a Josh McDaniels or Bill O'Brien or Brian Daboll, always there. Now that's no more. And now they've run out of young great minds, right? It's not— where's the next guy up? It's not a next guy. Like O.J. Mayo, right? Bringing Matt Patricia back. It's always been a guy that was in the pipeline. Who's next? Is it like Mullet Boy or his son or whatever his name is? You know what I mean? Legacy, little legacy. Like, yes, Steve, he doesn't matter. I knew his name. He don't matter. He's insignificant. But you know what I'm talking about? You think about it's not the next guy. So now Bill's doing something we've never seen him do. Have we ever seen Bill Belichick be the offense coordinator? Now, he may have had an imprint about do this, run that, but he's never been the guy that we thought was responsible for the offensive game plan. So, you know, I just think that if you look at it roster for roster, the Patriots have the weakest roster in the division. Like, you look at it, receivers. Right?
You say the weakest in the division, which you're suggesting that the Jets have a better roster.
I mean, Elijah Moore.
Now, they're very young. See, the difference with the Jets is that they're extremely young. Like, they're a very young team.
In certain places.
But not on defense.
Exactly. Not on offense, so to speak. Not with Langston Tomlinson there, not with McGovern there, not with Noah Fant there, and now Becton's going into his third year. Let's see if he can be what we expect him to be. Now with those tight ends, you know, Azuma, he's going in his eighth year. He just shined and had his best year with the Cincinnati Bengals, had 800 yards receiving. So now if you look at the productivity of what Tomlinson did in Minnesota and what Azuma did in Cincinnati – that's more production than I believe that Bill Belichick got out of his high-priced Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry last year. And then you say, okay, let's go to the outside. Like, I mean, I'll take Garrett Wilson, the number one guy on the board. You know, I'll put him right there with Kevin Bourne, right? And then would you take Corey Davis and say that he's just as good as N'Keal Harry? Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And then Elijah Moore, what he showed us in a short sample size, I would say he's just as good as their guys. Let's go offensive line. You can go player for player. Defense is where it's like, okay, Jermaine Johnson, Sheldon Rankins, Solomon Thomason, Quinnen Williams, and Carl Lawson.
So
we win.
The last
safety,
time the Patriots finished last
corner,
in the
vision, we win.
You weren't even in high school.
Well, history tends to repeat itself.
Like, this is what you're suggesting, that this could be the first time we see the Patriots as in the cellar of the AFC East.
Yeah.
That's what you're putting out
there. That's what I'm putting out there.
Now, you're the guy that last year said the Browns weren't going to make the playoffs and everybody thought you were crazy.
Yeah, and I said the Patriots were going to make the playoffs, but they barely almost didn't make the playoffs there either.
Right. So, but that's what we're seeing right now in the AFC East. It's not only that now the Bills are the premier team, which we knew them to be going into last year.
Yeah.
But now you're saying that the year of the time that the Patriots have been at least still one or two, that they're not only three, they could be four. And it all depends, of course. Now, again, we expect the Dolphins to be good, but it's the Jets that are the big question mark.
Yeah,
because we don't know what they're going to be. But with their moves, there's reason to believe they could be better.
With the moves they made, they should be at least plus three or plus four. Just, it's not about the moves that they made. It's also about the people that's coming back. Right? Carl Lawson's coming back. Joyner's coming back at safety. Now they have competition. Bryce Hall, who was probably their best defender and was ranked really high as far as, you know, pass defended, is now a backup.
Because you got DJ Reader, you got Sauce. They like Michael Carter II at the nickel. So now this guy, which is one
the defense is a lot of questions. Lawson, how he returns from the Achilles. That's a huge injury, obviously, for a guy at that position.
But they got Jacob Martin, too, who's a baller from Houston. And right. Then they drafted the kid from Texas A&M in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. So now they got depth. They go 5-6 deep on the outside. Mm. You got Sheldon Rankins in the inside. You got Quinnen Williams. You got Solomon Thomas, who's a former first-round overall pick that played within this system.
Now, I'll give you the
Jordan Whitehead.
Right. Now, defense is Robert Saleh's specialty. You expect the defense to be good. What the question mark remains with them, just like it does with Miami, is the quarterback.
What is Zach Wilson going to be?
Zach Wilson
just as good as Mac Jones.
With that in mind, That's going to lead us now to, obviously, what's coming up next. And we do have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But that is going to be the question. There's a lot of teams that still, they have their quarterback, but do they know if he's the guy? Well, they've done a lot from the draft and free agency to give Zach Wilson every opportunity to be the guy for the Jets. That's what remains. But after a weekend where the Jets had, statistically, the best first round draft that any team's ever had, score wise. Nobody's ever had three guys with a 92 or higher score. Mm-hmm. So that's something that Joe Douglas did. Continued to build through the draft the rest of the days as well, using his picks wisely the way he did them. We're going to talk strategy with the GM of the Jets coming up next. Really interesting what I've heard him say about how he moved up and what it took to move up to get that one more player that Robert Saleh wanted in the draft. And it was a great move. We'll discuss that coming up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Making some moves this weekend in the NFL draft was Joe Douglas and the New York Jets. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And the general manager of the Jets, Joe Douglas, is kind enough to join us right now as myself as a Jets fan reveling in a weekend that we are not used to in Jets history. Getting an A grade from Mel Kiper Jr., Joe, and then also him saying, overall, one of the best groups of the 2022 draft. That's what the experts are saying of the job you did this weekend. So, Joe, I will say this. First of all, thanks for joining us. Second of all, did you get everything you wanted out of this draft?
Well, Alan Barr, good to be with you guys. Look, we're better now than we were to start the offseason, and excited with the way that things turned out. Hopefully Mel Kiper's saying the same thing about our draft in 2025 as he's saying now. But, you know, obviously still a lot of work to do. Got to get them in the building and develop them. But no, we're excited about the way things fell for us this weekend.
To quote Hannibal from the A-Team, you got to love when a plan comes together. And, I mean, you talk about not only the draft, but you talk about what you did in free agency. How many starters do you expect from the offseason and also the draft?
I love the A-Team. That's a great quote. Right? I love it. B.A. Baracus. I think we're going to have some guys that can come in and compete. I feel like we're going to get some good starting level players in this draft. Whether it's day one or who knows when it's going to be, but they're going to have an opportunity to come in and compete with a good deep group at multiple positions, and we'll see where the chips fall in training camp.
I've been trying to get Bart to go Mr. T, full Mr. T.
I pity the fool.
Like, I mean, gold chains, the mohawk, the whole thing. I think he can pull it off, Joe.
Joe, before you even answer that, you got to understand that, you know, I'm at the age that if I cut the T in my head, I'm not sure it's going to grow back. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every day I wake up is a blessing. There's less hair on the pillow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hit my son with the dad joke. If you try to light Mr. T on fire, why can't it ever happen? He pities the fuel. Yeah, that's my dad joke. Bad dad joke of the day.
Well, I tell you what, right? When you think about now, and you know, we know this information more than most. You know, now you have the secondary market, and because you didn't have the trade for Debo, you still got some money, some powder dry for some great guys that's going to be able to get, you know, released, you know, because teams address needs and, you know, they're moving on from veteran players. You know, last year you got Morgan Moses, you know, late in the process. Like, I don't want you to give us any tips, but Are you eyeing some veteran guys that could potentially come in and give you more depth and more competition?
Yeah, I know. I think every team's doing that right now. I think we were able to be a beneficiary of that last year. Washington drafted a young tackle. They cut Morgan. Moses, we were able to sign him, and Morgan helped us. And I think every team is kind of monitoring those similar situations after the draft. What players are drafted high at what positions, if there's a veteran that can possibly sneak out of the roster, and you put your game plan together and be ready to pounce if that happens.
I know you don't care about public perception, but now the public perception is that the Jets are an attractive destination, right? Now you look at the competition at every position, you look at the depth that you were able to acquire in this draft. Do you think you've made yourself more attractive to guys to know that, hey, maybe this team is on to something? I want to be on the front end. I want to get on this ship.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, Bart, right? We want to make the Jets a destination for players. And not just from – obviously you do that from having a strong roster, but also strong infrastructure in terms of great facilities, great support staff, a great coaching staff. You know, bringing Coach Sala and the staff that he's brought together, passionate guys that love to teach, that want to get these guys paid, and just up front, like I want you to hit your goal and I want you to get paid. And so, you know, we want this place to be a destination where good players want to come and stay.
Jets GM Joe Douglas joining us right now on the show. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. One of the cool stories about the players that several of the players that you drafted, but one of them is a homegrown hometown kid, Jeremy Ruckert from Ohio State, the tight end from Lindenhurst, Long Island, of course, where I'm from. And I learned that he's not just a tight end. Tell us what you expect to get from him, because you did sign two tight ends, two veteran tight ends, so it's not necessarily right to be a starter, but I know he's got a lot of versatility.
Yeah, Big J. Ruck is a versatile guy, and he's a dirty work guy, and he had to do that at Ohio State. You know, he wasn't the showcased offensive weapon there. Obviously, that wide receiver room in Columbus is real deep, very deep, and a lot of good players have come out of there the last few years, and there's going to be more to come. And so, you know, he had to make his hay getting dirty with defensive ends in the run game, sacrificing his body for his running back. And then when he did have the opportunity to get out in some routes, he could shake some safeties. He could go up and make big plays on the ball, and if he had to. And, you know, I think you saw that against Clemson. You saw it in big time moments that, hey, this guy's not just a guy that's going to be a point of attack guy. This guy can get open, has some real natural talent as a route runner.
You know, he can also kick a 60-yard field goal.
Oh, he's a big time soccer player.
Yeah. He's got a leg. Right. Now, you had some issues last year. Remember, you had emergency kickers. You might have one already on the roster.
Got baby Pele?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a leg, man. No, he's got everybody on Long Island plays soccer. We're talking with Joe Douglas.
He's an outstanding goalie.
Yeah, GM of the Jets. So I heard a story you were telling yesterday on the Michael Kay Show in New York about moving up to get Jermaine Johnson. And you got him at 26. You had to move up, obviously, from the second round to get that third first-round pick. And something you said that I'd love to get more background on is you said that you got some no's and hang-ups. Does that really happen? Like, do you call a team and they just go click?
No, it wasn't that bad. You would get the no first before the hang up. I never got the straight hang up. But it was hey, no, we're gonna make this pick, or we can't go back that far, or we really want to keep that fifth year option, so we can't go back into the mid-30s. So it was a lot of good conversations. There's so many good guys in this business. There's no one that's just gonna hang up.
What's the adrenaline like in that moment when, you know, it's like, obviously you got Sala telling you, let's get this guy, you want to get him. And there's got to be an adrenaline rush to making the calls and watching the board. And is he going to go, like, you know, where do we got to get him until somebody says, yeah, let's make the deal. Like that's got to be in that, however many minutes it was, how many minutes was it until you got the deal? And what's that rush like?
Yeah. You know, I lost track of time because you're just dialing. You're just trying to smile and dial and get a deal done. And so I completely lost track of time. I just know that once Tennessee was open to it that second time around, and we hung up the phone, it was just pure elation. Like, yeah. I was pretty hyped up.
I always laugh. Like,
the whole room got hyped up.
Yeah. I wonder what that phone looks like. Like, because you don't want to be missed. You know, like, if you're trying to dial in for a competition, you want to try and hit it right when they say, call now. Do you have preset, like, all 32 teams preset, we just push the button and it automatically dials them? Or, like, do you actually have to dial the number? What is,
the
like, nervous? Yeah,
dial.
Nervous. Yeah, you know, nervous to mess like, up.
You know what? I don't do it that way. I should have that where I just have each team's button, then you just go, okay,
like 3-1-3-5.
Okay.
Like, oh, what is it?
Literally, we have a laminated chart, and so I'm like, okay, 408. I'm just dialing. And you're trying to stay like 2 picks out in front.
There's some lag time in that process. I hope you know that,
yeah,
right? Some lag time.
At least it wasn't a rotary phone.
Oh my god! Could you imagine?
Yeah, at least it was a push button phone.
Like you miss a number, yeah. Like damn, I got to start off.
Like damn, like, oh man. We would, if we'd have got here 10 seconds early, we just made a deal. Like, damn!
So tell me this.
You've been in some legendary rooms, like Ozzie Newsome, you know, your legendary rooms in Philadelphia, Chicago. Did you have more hits in this room than any of the other rooms that you've had previous? I mean, because it feels like you got everything that you wanted. It may not have got it when you wanted it, but you got it. Is this the most successful room you've ever been in as far as on your big board getting the players that you wanted?
I feel like last year there are a lot of things that went our way, but I felt like this year when we were able to get 4 guys in our top 20, I've never experienced that. There was a lot of excitement, but then it's like, okay, let's get these guys in the building. Let's develop them. But that was the first time I've been able to say, hey, we were able to get like 4 guys in our top 20.
Yeah, and that's what makes it such a successful draft. Joe, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about, of course, one of the picks you had last year, which is Zach Wilson, and the offseason that he is having now after his first year of experience, as you guys are now building what you can around him to give him the best chance for success. What have you seen from him so far this offseason?
Yeah, seen the work ethic, and he's got a grinder's mentality. He's a gym rat. You know, he's always here. You know, and he's always trying to get some guys to work out with him, just to be with his teammates. I mean, you guys heard about his nationwide tour from Nashville to Miami to Arizona to work out with his teammates. So he's trying to build those bonds with the guys, and he's trying to build that chemistry with his skill guys. And so that's carried over in the first 2+ weeks of OTAs.
Well, I'm coming over to the building, man. I'm gonna tell him to drink some Ensure because he built like a Backstreet Boy right now. He got to get his grown man bod.
he's got a sweet mullet going. I'm telling him to grow it out.
Oh boy,
hanging around Freeney, right?
Freeney, yeah, exactly. We just want to make sure Bart always talks about his code, and he knows he's still in the family. As long as when he presses the code on the door, he's allowed in. So we got to make sure that code stays the same for him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Big deal.
No doubt.
All right, Joe, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time. All the best, and congrats on a great draft.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Joe Douglas, again, GM of the Jets. They had themselves a hell of a draft. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to your calls and more. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Just got the greatest break. This morning, I woke up feeling brand new and up with my highs and my lows. All right, my bad.
It's all good. Jimmy's in South Carolina, wants to talk some hoops. Jimmy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
first time caller, big time fan, man.
All right.
Hey,
thank you.
So they have 3 guys, Max, Will, and Keyshawn.
Right.
So why don't you guys get Tim Ziegler and make it a 3-on-3?
That's a great question.
Well, and, here's the problem.
Yes, explain to him, Allie.
Max doesn't want to play.
Can't be self-deprecating.
Max doesn't want to play. That's it. It's simple as that. He's not going to play.
Yeah.
So it's really Keyshawn, J. Will, and minimum.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it.
Because we got Renizi back here. We got Renizi back here, you know what I'm saying? He got a hell of a hook shot.
Oh, we can get Renee. Yeah, we would definitely pull Renee into the 3-on-3.
Renee lock him down, son.
But Max is opting out. So, I mean, he's not opting out of taking shots at you.
Yeah, we wanted it a 3-on-3. We wanted it a 3-on-3.
This is basketball, not soccer. I don't know how useful Renee will be.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, shots fired. Oh,
that's friendly fire.
Friendly fire.
We don't discuss family business in front of everybody.
Hey, listen, if I could play soccer, I could use my feet, my quickness, my stamina, my agility, side to side, you know.
All this is important.
Renee could be the one-man press. You know how what type of shape you got to be in to play soccer? That's high-end cardiovascular conditioning.
I mean, it's amazing how many people are getting emotional about this.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very simple basketball game. It doesn't take a lot. We're not running full court. It's half court. And all it's going to take is which team has the chemistry and the fortitude to get through it.
Hey, I can imagine Allen for the game winner being like, oh, boy. Major League when he points and he refuses to dust himself off. Like you put like swish, you hold it up.
Oh, it's pretty. Yeah, I have it.
They intentionally fire you. Keep it up.
I have a plan of how I want to end the game. I don't know if I'll be able to execute it, but I do have a plan.
Don't tell the people.
Oh, I'm not going to tell them.
I think they got spies. They got reckless spies out here. Oh,
I mean, I have a plan that would end the game. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off, but it's there. And God help everyone. Everyone, if I get the opportunity to do it, that's all I'm saying.
Are you going to go Marshawn Lynch when he went beast mode and he grabbed it? You know, like,
oh, I might.
Stuff.
Oh, I might.
Put the team on my back, though.
Yeah, I'm serious. Don't let this happen. That's all I'm going to say. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han. Bart and Han.
Jay Weezy.
I might have to get into this whole celebrity boxing thing, man. I feel like I would do that. You want to get in the ring, Bart?
They got weight class for a reason now. I just let you know that. You know what I'm saying? We might be the same height, but there's definitely a discrepancy in the punching power.
Well, how much you weigh, Bart?
245.
I mean, I might be able to get up to like 215.
You should fight Key because he probably can't fight past 30 seconds each round.
Bart and Han.
Everybody want to tell you what it is. They
forget.
Got something to say.
Don't forget.
Close your lips. Want to jump different. Because they forgot about Dre.
Don't forget about my most improved player in the fourth grade CYO now. Don't forget about that. It's Bart and Han, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get back to calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, your thoughts on, first of all, Joe Douglas, always fun to talk to him.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I love
him. We go way back, too.
You could tell. He was very, very comfortable. He seemed, you know, look, he's not going to come and be like, yeah, we had a great draft. We got everything we want. Like, he's never going to brag. You don't do that. Yeah. But you could, he sounded pretty happy with not just this year's, but even last year's. Like, we got this back-to-back draft. Look, we got some players that we wanted.
Let's just go back to last year. Vera Tucker.
Yep, starter.
Right. Michael Carter.
Starter.
Michael Carter.
He played a ton. But Michael
he's
Carter.
He's a starter nickel. He's one of the best nickels in the league.
But Michael Carter, the running back, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a phenomenal pick. And he was second round?
Yeah, second round.
Yeah, so you got two firsts and a second.
Elijah Moore.
And Elijah Moore is turning into a player that's obviously going to be a big part of what they're doing going forward. And then this year.
Thank you, Jamal.
Three guys in the first round you expect to be a starter. Another running back in the second round who could be an unbelievable duo.
Right. And you look at
they're all young, all on rookie deals.
So now what that allows you to do, it allows you to go out and get hired guns. Right? So who's that hired gun? We don't know yet. You know, it could be some, you know, I told you Obi-Jobi, whatever his name is, from Cincinnati, who failed his physical. And he said that he's got his eye on the secondary market. That's how he got Morgan Moses last year because they drafted a tackle, so they got rid of him. He became expendable. But they got the money to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and they're in a good place. And, again, what I also loved is that he added this part. Doesn't matter. We have to coach them up. We got to develop them now. See, people think that you just draft. Oh, just draft well and you'll be successful. A big part of drafting is developing. What do you do now with these talented players and how do you fit them into the system? The stability of we got a same GM, same coach for a number of years and you let this thing grow. You don't see enough of that, especially in New York, because there's a lot of impatience. The Jets are there. Bart, say it one more time. Show the shirt on ESPN Plus before we say goodbye.
Come get some chumps.
Yes. He's got the shirt on.
I got a lot of more.
ESPN Radio in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
Google me.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.